Rock Central Thursday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. Canucks getting the dub last night over the New York Islanders. And, it wasn't a typical Canucks performance. They scored a bunch. They were a little bit loose defensively, but they won the game. So you don't really count style points at this time of year, do you, Sat?
No, not really. This actually reminded me of a game from like the Boudreaux era a little bit, right? Like it was like great goaltending performance,
yeah.
Not very good with defensively, some bad mistakes, and their details weren't great. But they scored some goals, got saves, and they found a way to win some games, right? Like that's kind of what this felt like watching that game last night, but. You know, if it wasn't for Demko in that first half of that game, man, I mean, we might be having a different discussion today, but that's why we talked about the importance of having Thatcher Demko back.
Yeah, and, if you think about the trip through New York, it started with a game that you should have won and didn't against the Rangers, right, where you played really well, but were unfortunate to come out losers in that one. And then last night, not that the Islanders were that much better, but... I mean, Demko, with all those incredible saves he had to make in the first just to allow the Canucks to find their game. I mean, the game could have been cooked if a couple of those go in. So it makes a big difference.
Absolutely. And they got some goals. I don't know if it was Quinn Hughes' best game. You know, you saw
hey, man,
the
if you can win games when Quinn isn't at his best, that's just like that's gravy for the Canucks right now.
Well, that's exactly it, right? I mean, last night was a game. Maybe his teammates picked him up is a bit too strong considering he still played a lot of minutes and was good outside of a few mistakes and did help the team, obviously. But it was not Quinn's best game. It was one of his worst games in recent memory, I think, or at least in the past few weeks, the past couple months. And they still found a way to win the hockey game. And usually that would not be the case.
Now, I do want to get into a couple more things about this game, but there is lots to get to today on the program. Landon Ferraro is going to join us, and it's going to be Mailbag Friday on a Thursday because tomorrow is an abbreviated show. Canucks are in Columbus for a 4:00 start Pacific time, so we'll be on at 2:00, just a 1 hour edition of Canuck Central. Yannick Hansen will join us, and at 3:00 the pregame show will start. So we're going to move Mailbag to today and allow it a little bit extra time to breathe. If you want to get in some last minute questions, 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. But let's get to it. It's the open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
It's the open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the latest is more speculation than anything else. Now, the Canucks did practice today ahead of their game with Columbus tomorrow. Wasn't a lot of details out of that practice with no traveling media. But the big news story around the NHL, former Canucks head coach and now former Philadelphia Flyers head coach John Tortorella has been relieved of his head coaching duties. And associate coach, also formerly of the Vancouver Canucks, Brad Shaw, has been named the interim. Now, like Rick Tocchet to Philadelphia speculation had been picking up already over the last little while, Sat. But now that Torts is out the door, I think the Rick Tocchet to Philadelphia speculation has, it's clicked up a few notches on the amphitheater here.
Yeah, it has. And it's pretty clear that when people talk about teams that are interested in Rick Tocchet and teams that would, get rid of their head coaches for Rick Tocchet, the Flyers would probably be amongst that group. So there's no surprise, right? And clearly, I think the Flyers would love to add Rick Tocchet. It is, however, just speculation. And I know it's easy to look at it and say, well, Tocchet played for the Flyers. He has a good relationship with some people in the organization. I would also say that Rick Tocchet has a good relationship with like 99% of the people in the National Hockey League. Yeah, and
that, we haven't met anybody that doesn't like Tocchet. Seriously,
In NHL circles, like, he's beloved, right? So I think him having good relationships with somebody or some people, I don't think is a novelty, right? So I think that's something that... he has with a lot of teams, even here in Vancouver. And then the bigger question, before we get to the bigger question, I think people want to know, Reach, right? Like, what is the organization feeling about all this?
Well, it's hard to say what the organization feels about all this, but ultimately, what do we know from the front office? They've publicly stated that they would like to keep Rick Tocchet around. And, you know, that quote from Alvin still sticks out to me of like, hey, it takes two to make this work. So that's where you wonder about it a little bit. And it's got to be frustrating for them because they've clearly made it known that they want to keep Rick Tocchet. But, you know, until there's a new contract done and dusted, speculation is only going to continue.
Yeah, and I think what the Canucks are doing right now, if asked about this, or even if it is brought up somewhere, is that they're reminding everyone that they have control over the situation. They have another team option year on Rick Tocchet. And I think that's their way of kind of flexing maybe their muscles a little bit with the speculation going on, everybody talking about things, being like, hey, he's not going to be a free agent necessarily. Like, we control the situation here.
Yeah.
And I think that's a public kind of, you know, thing you say, you would say, or at least you want to get out there. I think that makes a lot of sense, right? Let everybody know that, hey, like, don't get too eager here in this situation. But there's also a reality that as much as they have control of the situation, I don't know if they want to get into a power struggle, so to speak. And not to suggest that that's going to happen here, but I think there's still a desire to get something done with the head coach as opposed to having him back here on that option year for next year.
It's, as I said, as long as the speculation or the door is open without a new contract, speculation will continue. We do know, I know Kevin Kurz mentioned this earlier today on the station. He covers the Philadelphia Flyers, and it's kind of not really a secret anyways. Keith Jones, who's president of the Flyers, and Rick Tocchet go way back, and he's got a relationship there with Keith Jones. Tocchet's got relationships all across the National Hockey League. So, you know, it's not like that's sort of an exclusive thing. As we've talked about, Tocchet's got a lot of friends around hockey, considering he's been around the league for 40 plus years now, or around 40 years since he started his career as a player. So I don't really want to read too much into that. Ultimately, Sat, what I think this comes down to, it's a new contract. And there's got to be a negotiation involved. Tocchet, to this point, has said he's focused on the season, doesn't want to really go down the line of a negotiation. But what can Tocchet get as a head coach elsewhere around the league? You know, I think the biggest and highest paid coaches in the NHL, I think the two highest, according to Front Office Sports, are Mike Sullivan, just over $5 million, and John Cooper, who's just over $5 million. Peter Laviolette comes in a shade under $5 million. And then you've got guys like Bruce Cassidy. Torts was over $4 million. There's only a handful of guys. Like, Tocchet's in the top third of the league already at $2.75 million on his current contract. But can he get $5 million from the Flyers, who are not going to be, you know, I don't think the Flyers are a team that would get outbid for a coach that they potentially want if it comes down to that kind of a situation. And that's what I end up wondering here in this conversation is, does this just come down to the dollars and cents of it all?
Well, I'm sure to some degree. I mean, everybody has a price. But at the same time, again, like, no team can offer Rick Tocchet a contract. He's under contract with the Canucks.
That's true.
Right? It's not like he's a free, like, he hasn't, he's, and again, the team has a team option, right? Now, the team could even exercise the team option and then agree to part ways to just keep control. If you get to, say, July or whatever, whenever the contract expires, that you don't have a deal in place, you could exercise the team option and then keep control of the situation. So I don't know if there, you know, that's a reality, but obviously, if the Flyers truly or somebody wants to put a big offer in front of him, I'm sure they would make it known. At the same time, he doesn't have the pedigree, I don't think, to get like a Babcock type of contract. As much as, you know, Rick Tocchet is well-renowned, I just can't imagine he's a guy that people look at still and are like, yeah, let's give him a seven-year contract worth, like, what, $35
million? Yeah, I
don't know.
That's a lot. I don't think that's out there on the table. You know, could he get a yearly salary around $5 million, over $4.5 million? That puts him like top five in the league, though.
Yeah, we'll see.
And really, the only guys there are guys who have won cups. So
I think the biggest thing with Vancouver comes down to, does he see a future with the team that makes sense for him? And I'm sure the money is going to be a factor, but I don't think it's going to come down to money here. It's ultimately going to come down to the vision of how he sees it unfolding. Now, he said all the right things.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, I've spoken to some people recently about this with the organization, and there is, like, and I'm not going to sit here and say the organization is confident, but there are people that are confident or feel pretty confident that he is going to come back, that some of this stuff is somewhat overblown, and that he's been very professional about things, and that he's being earnest with everything that he's said. So I'm not sure that they're necessarily sitting on pins and needles organizationally waiting to see what happens after the season. I think they're pretty confident they're going to get something worked out, but ultimately you have to get there and figure it out, and none of us can sit here and confidently say what Rick Tocchet is going to do.
So you mentioned something there about how does Tocchet feel about the future of the Canucks and where this team is, and can it be a true contender? Because, of course, the coach has a hand in that, but if you don't have the talent, you don't have the talent. And right now the Canucks do not have the talent to be a true Stanley Cup contender. The thing about that conversation, though, is, like, who's to say that's going to be any better for him in Philadelphia? Like, Philadelphia is further away than the Canucks are even right now, even with a Matvei Michkov in the fold.
Well, that's the other thing, right? And it's like, as much as we're sitting here and talking about the Flyers being interested and they can throw money at it, if he truly is going to have as much interest as people think he's going to have, then he's going to have a pretty good choice of places to go to. And why would the Flyers, outside of him having played there, and again, people trying to tie it to his relationship with people in the organization, why would they be a team that he's like, I got to go to? It's still like a team that, as much as they have some promising players, like Michkov, right, you mentioned, they have some other guys coming, Luchenko, and they have draft picks, they have prospects, but they're at a stage, they're still years away from winning.
Yeah.
So it's like you're still going into a rebuild. That's not something that's easy to go into. And I'm not sure that's what you're, you know, want to hitch yourself to. And how different is that from Vancouver? Vancouver is probably ahead of where the Flyers are.
Well, you have Quinn Hughes in Vancouver for now.
Well, exactly. Well, not only that, but also, like, if you figure things out with Pettersson, like, you're a lot closer. Like, mm-hmm. you have, you know, the pieces to be a playoff team and more if you add to it. So just don't see the draw as far as the roster and the long-term outlook for the Flyers goes.
A couple of texts coming in on this. Raj in Calgary. Rick has said he's not a quitter. I think he will see this through on what he has started. Another text says, imagine Tocchet in Anaheim. Philly has nothing. So a lot of different opinions on this. Ted in Surrey saying he probably wants another Stanley Cup. And I mean, every coach would love to have a Stanley Cup, and you got to pick, if you're lucky enough to pick where you are going to coach, you know, you'd of course love to go to a team that has Stanley Cup potential, kind of like, you know, Paul Maurice leaves Winnipeg and then he goes to, he ends up in Florida, right? And they win a Stanley Cup and he gets the Stanley Cup that he's been chasing for a long while. So, you know, like, those situations are few and far between. As we've talked about with Frank Saravalli, like, Rick Tocchet has a lot of admirers around the league. So, you know, he's done a lot of good work in Vancouver that has brought his reputation to a pretty high level after it was, you know, not as strong after his time in Arizona. But now we know, like, you know, there is a potential team out there that could be looking at Rick Tocchet, or if he does become available, as you say, the Canucks still have control there. There is a team that he's got ties with as a player, as he's got ties with their front office, that could be a potential suitor for Rick Tocchet if he were to be available.
Yeah, and ultimately we'll see, right? And it's going to be very fast. I think the Canucks and Tocchet are probably going to figure something out relatively quickly, right? Yeah. Like, I think it won't. I don't think this is something that's going to necessarily drag well into the summer as mm-hmm. they figure out what goes on. I think they're going to figure it out relatively quickly after the season. But, you know, Tocchet will probably take a few days to think about what he wants to do and then sit down with the team. So I'm thinking before the draft, we are going to have clarity here.
Yeah.
Like, you know, on what's happening with Tocchet. And, you know, I know teams can wait till later in the summer to get stuff done, but maybe by then the Flyers do something else, hire somebody else, right? It all depends on, you know, how they read the tea leaves from that point on. But, like, Tocchet has, last time he spoke about this, especially in that second interview he did with Ian McIntyre on Sportsnet.ca. Like, he seemed pretty earnest about the reason he doesn't want to talk contract is simply because of being focused on where they're at in the season and how many distractions they've had, and he can't afford to think about anything else right now. At least that was his messaging, and he seemed earnest about it, at least.
And he's got this team you know, on a 5-2-1 record right now, okay, over the last 8 games, pretty good. I know it's still behind where the St. Louis Blues are, but there's been a lot of good over these last few games. You know, we've talked about the offense a ton, but the offense has been better in this last little stretch for the last 5 games. They've gotten to double-digit high-danger chances. They're scoring a lot more over the last couple of weeks. More pucks are going in. Those are all good signs. Last night, though, they lost a little bit of their identity, and that was kind of the curious part. But when you have Thatcher Demko to keep you in it, it makes all the difference in the world. And getting Demko back, you know, he flashed his vintage form, Sat, and now you can wonder, can he continue this enough to give Vancouver more of a realistic chance to make this playoff push here down the stretch?
Well, if he can maintain this, and what Woodley told us yesterday, and it came to fruition based on what we saw in the game, that he's like, he wasn't that far off when he saw him before and looked pretty good. Yeah, obviously a few things to clean up, and maybe there are a few other things for him to clean up, but as long as he stays healthy, like, this may not be peak Demko or bubble Demko, as you like to say, but it's getting pretty close, and close to that is still elite level goaltending. We saw it last night. And if he can stay healthy here and play the majority, and maybe not obviously they have 11 games left. He can't play like 8 of them, but can he get at least 6 more in?
Yeah.
7 maybe, right? And if he can do that and play at that level, man, it gives you a real shot. Because as much as you said it was curious the Canucks played the way they did, I don't know if it was reach, because just look at the roster. Look at the forward group, right?
Yeah.
And we saw them have 2 really good games, but it was unrealistic to expect this group of forwards to go out there and be able to repeat that game after game after game for 45 to 60 minutes every game. Like, they're just not going to be able to do that. They don't have enough horses up front, and puts a lot of strain on the defense. And if Quinn has a bit of an off night, all of a sudden you saw what happened in the first half of the game last night, right? So I think that's just a byproduct of where the team's at. But when you have Demko, it doesn't matter. He still gave them a chance to win the game, and they seized the opportunity in the second half. And they came up big to win the hockey game.
Yeah, they did, and it clutched up, right? I think there were some really big moments through the course of the game. You love seeing... I mean, Aturatu has played really well through these 2 games, and I don't want to like get over the moon about it too much, because, you know, it can be fleeting watching young players. They'll have a couple of good games and then they'll have a couple of not so good games. And that's kind of the way that it's been for Ratu in his previous NHL stints with the Vancouver Canucks. But last night, the work he puts in on the Sherwood goal that opens up the game, you know, he's first in on the forecheck, wins the battle, and that begins to create the scoring chance. Doesn't get an assist or anything, but without Ratu's work on the forecheck, the Canucks never score that goal. Then he scores the second goal for the Vancouver Canucks. I mean, you know, it's these kinds of moments from these younger players that we know as early as next year, the Canucks are going to have to rely on a little bit more than they have this year. You know, these are the ones that give you hope moving into the future.
They really are, right? And I think that's kind of what has been promising about all this, right? It's like, okay, you're getting some performances from some key young players that you can carry that over, right? You're looking at Thatcher Demko regaining his form. And if you can stay healthy, well, you might feel better about not only keeping him next season, and if you're not, maybe you have different options here in the trade route, but at the very least, you have something you feel positive about heading into next year. And Lankanen's contract and the cap going up are not significant hindrances long-term to keep Demko if you want to, so it really opens things up. And then if you're getting these young guys to be able to translate whatever they're experiencing this year into next year and beyond, well, okay, now you're seeing it be worthwhile at least. Like, this has not been an acceptable season. Like, we all agree on this. It hasn't been good enough. It's been very disappointing. It's created an existential crisis around a lot of different situations with the team because of how it's gone sideways and JT getting traded, Pettersson struggles, all those things, right? We can definitely talk about missteps from management organizationally, all those things. But the reality is you're in the place that you're at. And now all you can do is try to rebuild some of your players, Demko being one, and trying to get these young guys to a point where they can help you as quick as possible.
And that's promising. What we've seen from Ratu is definitely promising. You're going to need to see more of it down the stretch here, need to see it continue. And, You know, right now, I think there's some really good things in his game. You know, even Rick Tocchet has mentioned the pace has still got to keep up. I think he's already built more pace into his game since he first was acquired by the Canucks, but he's going to need another offseason to take that another step further. Quickly in the Canucks Central roundup, Canucks are at the Columbus Blue Jackets tomorrow, who've been off for the last couple of days. Canucks did practice today with no traveling media. There wasn't any real updates on lineup decisions, on Kevin Lankinen's injury, or those players that are back in Vancouver now, Filip Hedl, Elias Pettersson, Nils Höglander. So that's just the way of the world right now, Sat, with the Canucks out on the road in Columbus and Winnipeg to finish up this trip.
Yeah, man, and it's going to be difficult. And I just hope that they just find a way to win against Columbus. Honestly, like, if you can find a way to beat Columbus, it doesn't mean anything can happen against Utah, but like we talked about, you can probably lose two or three games, and you want to save those losses for a team like Winnipeg, right? Yeah. You beat them last time, and if you can beat them, amazing. If not, that's a game you can be okay losing. You're losing against Columbus, and now you kind of have to win against Winnipeg to make up for it.
Columbus, with 12 games remaining, on 73 points. They are currently 2 points out of the second wild card in the East, so it's very much a desperation game for them as well. On the out-of-town scoreboard tonight, Blues are again up against the Predators, whom they've already beat twice over the last couple of weeks. So their schedule is still pretty soft by standards of the other teams they are playing against in the wild card race. Flames have a tough one against the Stars, but it is a scheduled win night for the Flames, as the Stars were 4-3 winners over the Edmonton Oilers last night, Sat.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Canucks kind of need the Stars to buck the trend. Like, we've seen it be bucked quite a bit. Like, honestly, this should be the year where the scheduled win talk, like, goes to die.
Okay.
But it has.
I'm not going to let it happen, because I know how much it irks you. So.
No, I know. I know you're not. I know you're. It'll die, but Reach will slowly keep it going. Are the Blues really going to win every game?
Maybe.
I feel like I've been saying that for like a week now.
So like,
are they going to beat the Preds every time?
The Preds are not good.
Yeah, the Preds are not very good.
They're really bad.
I think Yossi's done for the year now too, so it's just like
a shutdown city now. Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty grim for the Nashville Predators, who had high hopes coming into the season, following up last year with some success. But I mean, look, the Blues, you know, they're not going to win every game, but again, if they just beat the teams that are outside of the playoff picture, then, you know, they're getting another 5 wins for the remainder of the season. So that that makes it difficult when you start to look at it from that perspective. But maybe the Preds can do the Canucks a solid here. Capitals are at Minnesota, so you're watching Ovechkin in that one, 6 away from breaking Wayne Gretzky's record and getting above it to 895. Also, the Minnesota Wild have been very much in the tank lately, and hey, they're on 85 points in the first wild card spot, so you're still cheering for them to keep losing and maybe fall back to continue to fall back to the pack of the other teams fighting in the wild card spot. We'll talk about Keith Sherwood a little bit later on. Had another 3 points last night. Pugh Suter had 2 assists, so he's continuing to make a case for a very nice contract come this summer. But up next, Landon Ferraro is going to join us, our Canucks analyst. He's coming up on Canuck Central.
Hitting the most important topics for Vancouver sports fans. The People's Show with Vic Nizar. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.